to play for I think it was his niece. She was only 9 months old, and she had a liver disease, and she was flown to London, one of the hospitals there. She was bleeding both ends and at the back, and she needed a liver transplant. So we prayed on one of the Wednesday nights in Tullyhush. So I saw the man yesterday, and he said that within 16 hours, there was no liver there when she arrived at the hospital, that just through prayer, 16 hours, and she had the transplant, and she's back home, and she's doing well. She's only 9 months old. So I just want to thank the Lord for her prayer.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Isn't the Lord good?
Amen. Praise God. I tell you, the Lord does hear and answer prayer. Amen. And we just thank the Lord tonight for answering prayer. And you know, we come on a Wednesday night, and sometimes maybe some people don't get, but those that can get come, and the Lord answers prayer. Amen. Let us turn to Hebrews. I said chapter 12. Sorry, brother. I maybe told you the wrong chapter. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. I think I told her brother Matthew the wrong chapter, but nevertheless. Maybe we could stand just for the reading of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 12, let's read in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Let's bow our heads again for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise you tonight for the precious word of God. We thank you for this testimony of thy answering prayer and thy power to heal and deliver. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're the great physician, the sympathizing Jesus. And we know that you have promised for two or three of us gather in your name, that you are in the midst of us, and that to bless us. Father, we bless your name tonight, the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray that the Comforter will come into this service tonight, that you will touch the lives of men and women, touch those in their body that need a touch of healing. Touch in the spiritual, touch in the financial. We commit all these needs to you. And we ask and pray that you will meet every need for each one tonight. For those that need a financial miracle, Lord, you can do it. You took the 5 loaves and the 2 small fishes, and you fed a great multitude, as was said with the boys' lunch. You're the same Jesus. You're never changed. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we look to you this evening. Father, will you bless your word to their hearts? And Lord, I take the promised Holy Ghost to quicken me. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I want to take for the text tonight from verse 2 this phrase, endured the cross. And you know, as I studied this today, there's so many sayings in this verse 2 that you could preach from. And I've had to leave a lot of it out because we wouldn't have the time to go into it all tonight. Probably I'd need to take the whole of chapter 12 and go right through the whole chapter, and that could take months. And you'd say, how would you get months out of it? I'm telling you, there's some stuff in the book of Hebrews that's unbelievable. There's a vast amount of stuff. I believe this is one of the greatest books of the Bible to preach a gospel from. It's the book of Hebrews, and it's full of depth and vitality.
Amen.
Praise God. Endured the cross. And that word endured the cross means to bear patiently without resistance. And Tyndale's Bible says he abode the cross. He abode it. He endured it willingly. He took it willingly. He did it. Endured the cross. Praise God. And it also can mean a courageous standing against the hostile power. And we can honestly say tonight that Jesus did endure the cross. He courageously went forward against the hostile power of demons and of demon powers. He courageously went forward and endured the cross. He endured the cross for us so that we could be saved. He endured the cross so we could be healed. He endured the cross so we could go in the catching up. He endured the cross so that we wouldn't go to hell, but we would go to heaven. Jesus endured the cross. And I'll tell you, endurance means it's not easy. It's tough. But to do endurance is tough. Do you ever hear of somebody doing an endurance test or an endurance trial? Them games is on at the minute. And you know, I love athletics. I have to be honest with you. I love sport. I love athletics. I really like running. Probably one of my favorite things when I was younger was running. But you think of the triathlon, I think is the right name for it. Maybe I'm wrong when I'm saying that. But you know, where they start out, they have to swim. Then they swim, and then they come out of the swimming, they jump on a bike. They ride a bike, then they jump off a bike and they run. That's endurance. I'm telling you something, if you didn't train for that, you'd conk out after the swim. You couldn't do it, no way. Even somebody that, you know, thinks they're fit couldn't do that. I'm telling you, it's tough. And Jesus' road was a tough road. A tough road Jesus went. And he had to endure the cross. And we're going to see tonight what all that meant tonight, the Lord willing, when we look at the Word of God. Endured, courageous standing against the hostile power. It also implies so bearing the cross as not to be discouraged or hindered. Hereby, in his course, he endured it. He went on with it. Among other virtues, it intended to, especially namely patience and consistency, to take away patiently. And the Lord had to be patient. And not only was the Lord patient, but he endured this patiently. Some of us have no patience. It's not right. You know, I don't hear no amen, but I know it's the truth. I'll tell you that. Some people want things done right. All of us do at times. All of us lack patience at times. I lack it at times. Sometimes we want the thing done right away, but Jesus Christ had patience. In 1 Peter 2 verse 20 it says this: for what glory is it if when we be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? And many times we're buffeted for our faults, but we have to take it patiently. And the Lord was patient when he endured the cross. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. God wants us to have patience. You know, the Word of God tells you this. After you have done the will of God, what do you need to learn? Patience. That ye might receive the promise. That's what God's Word says. After you've done the will of God, you need to learn patience. That you might receive the promise. And many times we do God's will, but then we run ahead. That's when we need to learn patience to receive the promise. God is going to do it. When you've prayed for something, you believe it's going to happen. But you wait. God will do it the way he's going to do it. You can't force it or anything. We can't add to their stature, but taking thought, it's God that's going to do it. But the Lord will do it if you have patience. Praise God. Amen. Do you ever pray for something and you think it's not going to happen and you almost give up on it and God does it? Praise God. In Luke 21 verse 19 it says, in your patience possess ye your souls. So I'm just looking at this word patience for a minute. It can also mean perseverance. And I think maybe Brother John preached a message once about perseverance. But patience can also mean perseverance. And Jesus had perseverance. And in Matthew 10:22 it says, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth unto the end shall be saved." There's a biting down on the bit and going on.
Amen.
They're not giving up when the going gets tough. And those athletes that do them, you know, that triathlon or whatever you call that, you know, that endurance. What's the name of it, brother?
Ironman.
You know them boys that do it, they bite down the bitters at work. The fellow that says he's not going to give up, he's a winner. And I'm telling you, it takes guts. And I'm telling you, we don't really realize the things Jesus suffered. When I studied this, and I couldn't bring it all tonight, there's too much. The Lord, you know, they woke Jesus about the whole night long. He never could sleep. And they took him to one place, and they buffeted him. And they took him to another place, and they buffeted him. Then they handed him up before Pilate, and then he sent him to her. And then he sent him back to Pilate. 5 different times he came before men to be judged. All night long. And he had the patience. And you know the devil tried to kill him at the whipping post. But he set his face as a flint.
Amen.
Jesus was determined to go to the cross.
Amen.
And even though they almost killed him at the whipping post, and he couldn't even carry his own cross, and they had to call one Simon to carry his cross, he was determined to go to Calvary. I tell you, he knew he was thinking of you and me.
Amen.
The Bible says in John 3:16, God so loved the world.
Amen.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Not just our son, but the only begotten son.
Amen.
That whosoever believeth upon him shall be saved.
Glory.
That has to be the best verse in all of the Bible. I believe it is. Praise God. So he endured all this. Perseverance. And I read you Matthew 10:22. Christ must patiently endure his cross and constantly abode under it. I tell you, he suffered way beyond what we could comprehend. Christ did this in total obedience to the Father's will. There's nowhere when Jesus was out of his Father's will. He never had a day when he was out of the Father's will. Never. You can't tell me out of it, no other man. David was out of God's will when he committed adultery and took Uriah the Hittite's wife and put him to the forefront of the battle and tried to get him killed.
That's right.
Plotted a murder.
That's right.
Oh, I could take you through every one of them. Moses struck the rock when he should have spoke to it. Now, they're not written in there to show you the mistakes, but they are to show you that every man failed but one.
Amen.
That's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He never failed.
Yes.
Now let me go through this with you. Obediently submit himself to God's will. This was the ground of all. Philippians 2:8 tells us, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Jesus didn't want to go. And I can tell you the Bible says that. For he prayed in Matthew 27, "Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He knew it was going to take a lot to do it. But he went and suffered death for mankind. Christ done it. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Imagine, I'll tell you, if somebody said to you, "You're going to have to be obedient right to death," nobody would do it. No man would do it, but Jesus done it.
Amen.
He died that we could live.
Amen.
He died that we could go to heaven. He gave himself a ransom for many. Are you hearing that?
Amen.
We were held ransom because of sin. For the penalty of sin's death, and death is passed upon all men, for all sin, and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus Christ became our ransom. I tell you, and God was pleased with it. And satisfied with it. And God accepted it. But he willingly done it. Oh, thank God for it. And nothing was he disobedient, nor failed in fulfilling any part of all of it. In Hebrews 12:8 it says, "But if ye be without chastisement, whereof are all partakers, then are we bastards and not sons." I tell you, he was the real Son of God, and he obeyed his Father. He wasn't illegitimate. He was the Son of Almighty God.
Amen.
And every son will receive chastisement as a real son. And I tell you, many times God does have to chastise us. He as a father has to chastise a son. It's not nice, sure it's not. Maybe you have to give him a wee clip or two. That's how it is. For a big clip, if they need it, the wee one mightn't work. Sometimes the wee clip doesn't work, they need the big clip. Something to waken them up a bit. And my dad used to say to us, I'll tell you, boy, if you don't do it, I'll waken you up a bit. Now, we knew what he was talking about when he said, I'll waken you up a bit. When he said, I'll give you a clip to waken you up a bit, you wakened up then when you heard it. That was enough. If you had to get it, you really wakened up. You're waking up for the rest of the day, I can tell you. Done us good, you know. You imagine, you see, that's what's wrong with society today. There's no fathers in the home to chastise the children. And this modern age we're living in, it's an absolute perversion. Two women adopting children and all this nonsense and two men having children. I tell you, it's an abomination. God's against it. And this Bible's against it. And every true preacher's against it. I tell you, it's not right. God made them male and female, made he them. And he said, go forth, replenish, multiply the earth. That's God's word and God's command. Praise God. Constantly he endured what was the good pleasure of his father to lay upon him. Though otherwise, through the great extremity of agony, he could have wasted it, might have passed away. Matthew 28, I already quoted you, 26, sorry, Matthew 26, 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thine. I tell you, he knew what he was going to have to suffer, but he endured the cross. It was a hard trial. Ever before he got to Calvary, it was tough. The whipping, the beating, the chastisement. Now we're going to look as well at the hatred and the vermin spewed against them. And the lies they told. From religious leaders too. Never change, sure has. We do that with these meetings, you know. Well, don't go down there, I'll tell you. Boy, don't you go down there. Them boys believe me. If you heard some of the stuff I meant to be preaching, you wouldn't believe it. I don't know where they get it from. But that's the devil, you see. He wants to ruin your character. He done his best to ruin the character of Christ. He spoke against his family. He spoke against everything about him. We're going to see that tonight. And I'll try not to keep you too long tonight. Now listen to me. He willingly endured all. With much humility he submitted himself. He humbled himself. In Philippians 2 verse 8 it says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Confidently he depended on God in his greatest extremity. This title, my Father and my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's what Jesus prayed. Jesus called God his Father. Some people preach it, you know, that he's his own father. Well, I can tell you he's not. God is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he prayed to his Father and he depended upon his Father. And he did his Father's will. And when God left him, he left him, I'm telling you. He left him, and not only did he leave him, he turned his back on him at Calvary. And all the darkness surrounded him, and that's where the bulls of Bashan compassed him about. And Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Amen.
For he died as a man died. That's what your Bible teaches.
Amen.
We had to be a man, all man. So that he could taste death for us. So that he could endure the cross. So that he could feel the suffering and the pangs and the pains that we were going to feel. That's why I preached the sermon, the vinegar of Calvary. And you remember when I preached it, the vinegar was a narcotic made with the women. Like a type of a wine. And they give it to the victims to numb their senses. In other words, they were half drunk. And the reason they made them half drunk was to know the pain and kill the pain of the suffering. But Christ rejected it. He refused to drink. You remember when I preached the refusal of the drink? He wanted to feel every pain, and I can tell you, if you read history and read your Bibles, you're bound to see that those soldiers, I believe they were tipsy on drink. The things they'd done weren't normal. And the crucifying of the Savior. And I tell you, he refused to drink so that he could feel every pain. So that he could feel all the agony of all creation poured upon him at Calvary. All the suffering, all the pain, Christ took it when he endured the cross. I thank God he did it for me and he did it for you. In Matthew 27 verse 46 it says, "And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And I tell you, God turned. And when God turned, creation blacked out. You know that? The earth blacked out! Darkness covered the face of the earth for 3 hours of darkness. All the wrath of the holy God poured out on Christ. All the judgments of the holy God poured out on Christ so that we as hell deserving sinners could escape death through the Savior. He suffered for me. He died for me. He endured the cross that I could be free. He endured the cross that I could be saved. I thank the Lord tonight. There's no man I can thank. Only the Lord Jesus. I'll not give the glory to another. No interest. When I lift him up, don't condemn me when I preach about him. No other man could save my soul. No other man could help me. Only the Savior. But I thank God for the word of God in Romans 10 verse 9. For the word is now thee, even in thy mouth that we preach. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. I tell you, when you call upon the Savior, he'll save you. He'll save you for all time. Praise God! He'll save you for all eternity. When you call upon his name. And I tell you, he'll not lose you. For my Bible says, none have I lost, Father, that thou hast given me. It says we're engraved upon the very palms of his hands. Thank God for tonight. He neither doubted his Father's favor, nor despised of his help. Christ most meekly and richly endured the cross without any inward fretting and vexing his spirit. Indeed his soul was troubled and very heavy. But that was because that he took the punishment that was due all mankind and the suffering that was due all mankind and all them years of the vengeance of a holy God was poured in Christ. Let me read you Isaiah 53 verse 7. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. I tell you, that's the Savior. That's humility. That's patience. That's the man that endured the cross. No other could do it. Only a special man. And Jesus was a very special man, born of a virgin. God's only begotten Son. I tell you, there's boys on the day and they're putting up stuff about the Lord. And I want you to know, if we weren't living in the day of grace, they'd have been dead right now. God would have smoked them down. Absolute blasphemy to speak against the Savior. In relation to his enemies, Christ's patience was manifested by his continuing to do all good he could to them. Notwithstanding their continual seeking to do all evil against him, he done good to them. He continued to instruct them, tell them the right way. He miraculously helped them according to their needs. He forbid his disciples to strike them. He healed the wound that was rashly made by one of his disciples when he cut the ear of them. When they come for the Lord, you know the Bible says, you know, when Judas kissed them, the kiss of betrayal is called. Remember a priest, the man that kissed the door of heaven and went straight to hell? The kiss of betrayal. You know when they asked for them, the Bible says, I am he. But they say the original doesn't have the he. It just has I am. And you know when they asked for the Lord and he says, I am. The Bible says they fell backward. They could never have took him. Billy Sunday says he could have clicked his fingers and called 10,000 angels and wiped them on the face of the planet. But he patiently endured the cross. Oh yes, he let them pick him. All in God's plan that we could be saved. In Luke 22 verse 49 to 51 it says this. When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, this is his disciples, Lord, shall we smite with a sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched the ear and healed him. He took the ear clean off him and the Lord healed him. That's what your Bible says here. You know, some of the wee films about it are good, for they show you that. But I tell you, see, we as men, we want to fight the physical fight, but the Lord didn't. He yielded up his life for ransom for many. Freely given, endured the cross. He prayed for them. He excused them for their ignorance. In Luke 23, 34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Forgive his enemies. The man that was going to nail him to the cross, the man that beat him, that spat upon him, that bruised him, he said, Father, forgive them. This is the same Lord that said, you want to be my disciples? Says, I give you a new commandment, number 11. Love one another. That's what it means. Love one another. If your brother wrongs you, forgive him. If your sister wrongs you, forgive them. Forgive you their trespasses, and I'll forgive your trespasses. Not the Bible. That's the Lord. That's the real Christian attitude. To be like the Master. When thou art reviled, revile not again. Remember when a brother Brian mentioned a bit of that the other day. And I'm going to tell you something that happened to me one night, one day. I'll never forget it. I was working on a job. Brother Yule was with me. It's quite a time ago, wasn't it, brother? Not that long ago, Yule. 20 years ago, sure something. You know, when we were working anyhow, this fellow in the digger made a wee bit of a boob. I don't know what pipes he pulled out and what he racked anyhow, but he blamed me for it and me nowhere near him. But I got the blame for it. Of course, the boss came round and he didn't know all the rest of it. And I says to myself, I'll tell you what. I'm going to go up and I'll tell you, I'll bring him out of the digger and what I'll give him will be nobody's business. And I was all set, got the coat and all that and put the coat on the gate. And I got out through the gate and the Spirit of the Lord come down over me. Right on the job, ready to work. And a voice spoke within me, and the voice said, when thou art reviled, revile not again. There was Big Tommy with the coat on, going to beat him, and the Spirit of the Lord comes, and here I'm crying like a child. Stunned crying. If anybody had seen me, they'd have said, that boy's a head case. And I said, Lord, forgive me. And I never said a word to him. But at 1 o'clock that fella come down into the room when it was only me. And he said to me, Tommy, I know you preach the gospel and pray for the sick. And he said, my, was his wife to be then, they weren't married, so they got married after. He said, just dad, I found a tumor. Right near the prayer. Want you to pray for her. I said, I will. And I prayed for her, and God delivered her. And they're living the day, and he married her, and they built the house, and it's 20 years ago! And they're still living. And I tell you, God learnt me a lesson that day. If I had went up and hit him a good slap on the mouth, he wouldn't have been coming to get me to pray for his wife to be. None of that would have happened. God wants us to have patience. God wants us to think before we put our foot in. Do you ever hear the old saying, foot and mouth disease? And I know a woman, and I'm going to say it for you all know her. She had that. Many times the foot was in before she thought. And damage was done. And I know of something that woman did, and a minister got blamed for it. And for all the rest of his life, that family blamed that minister, and they were wrong. For he never said it, she did. And that man went to his grave, and there was never restitution because of what that woman said. Foot and mouth disease. I tell you, God wants us just to take a moment before we run in with the hobnail boots. God wants us to take a moment. And he wants us to think about it. And I don't care what they've done to you. Whatever they've done, you need to forgive them. And if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. You say, preacher, why are you preaching it tonight? A free letter. Can't help it. The Holy Spirit's moving with it. I tell you, we can't hold stuff in our hearts and then expect God to move. I tell you, I thank God. I'm glad I never hit that fellow that day. I'm glad I didn't. And I got to pray for him, pray for his wife. And God touched her. And that's God's grace. Why is going to do it? You think of William Branham, a prophet sent from God. And they bullied him at school and they beat him and battered him about because he was poor. And he lay on a hill with a 2-2 rifle and her loaded. And they killed his dog, and he said, when they come over the hill, I'll blast them and let them have it. And he pumped every bullet out of that gun, and not one of them went off. Not a one of them. They never went off. And he said he wanted to do it. But he said God was looking after the gift. And God didn't permit it. And he said he had a real temper. And God had to deliver him from the temper he had. And they said, when all calmed down and they were away, the gun fired. Said it was God's mercy. God didn't want him to be a killer. And God delivered him from his temper. And I tell you, Wigglesworth, you wouldn't have, people talk about Wigglesworth. Wigglesworth had a temper like a buzzsaw. He could have went off on one. You read his life story and you'll know that. And he said he locked himself in the room and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost took the temper out of him. Now God used it. God used it against the devil. Because Wigglesworth would have closed his fist. And if you had cancer in the stomach, he'd have let you have it. Right in the gut, full smack. That's how he prayed for you. Big punch in the guts. But don't try it. God used him to do that. But you have these boys running about trying it. It won't work. It has to be the original. Amen? It's like Brother Branham and a gift in his hand. We can't go the night after that. It won't happen. And Oral Roberts and a gift in his hand. God used man. God wants you to be what he called you to be. And maybe God could give you something special and you're to use that. And God will bless you for it. He endured the cross. He prayed for them. He excused them. Their ignorance. Christ constantly under suffering was manifested. He so set himself hitherto and he would not be kept from it. Luke 9:51. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He was determined to go. I tell you, that's what I believe it's like when you want the Holy Ghost. Or you want something from God. How determined are you? You're going to stand before God, do you get it? I tell you, you need to set yourself. Set yourself to seek God. Set yourself to read God's Word. Jesus had a determination in him. And he said, I'm going to go up. And nothing stopped him. And I tell you, there was a whole lot to stop him, but it never stopped him. Sure it didn't. Aren't you glad he wasn't stopped? By his continuing to do these things, which occasioned his sufferings, and that was to discover the superstition, hypocrisy, pride, ambition, and other corruptions of priests, scribes, Pharisees, and others among the Jews. A bunch of hypocrites, weren't they? This he did not long before his death. All them come out. When Jesus come on the scene, they all manifest it. Isn't it like today? They manifest it. We have Moses. What did he say to him? If you knew Moses, you'd have knew me. You see, they had Moses, but they didn't do what Moses said. If they had believed Moses' message, they'd have knew the Lord. They only knew Moses as far as the head went. They had no real revelation of it. For Jesus said, if you had a new Moses, you knew me. He testified of me. He spoke of me coming. And then he said, before he was, I am. And they said, you're not even 50. How could you before him? See, this is the one in Philippians that all things were made by him. All things were made for him. They didn't recognize him. It manifested them. When the true light came, when the true word came, they manifested. And I'll tell you, it's just the same today. When you talk about a miracle and somebody answers back, I wouldn't believe it. That's a manifestation of unbelief. But when somebody says, praise God, I believe it. That's a manifestation of faith and belief. Amen? Unbelief is sin. Christ constantly under his suffering was manifested, so said himself. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go up. I'm telling you, he was determined to go. In Matthew 23:3, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. They left out a list of rules, but they never kept them themselves. And I tell you, we don't want to be preaching something we can't keep. If we preach it, we need to live it. Amen. And Jesus said, observe their customs, but if they tell you to do it, don't you be worried about doing it, for they can't do it. For resisting on the blood, that is, as long as he could suffer in this world, by finishing and accomplishing all that was, he endured. The phrase says, it's finished. He went to the end. He finished the course. He run the race. He endured the cross. John 19:30, it says, and when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. You notice that's the only time he received it, at the end. The refusal of the drink the whole way, but when he said it's finished, he received it. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. I tell you, that's the only place you can find for he took it. And he knew it was finished. Christ enduring the cross. Here's what it meant. It meant the shame. Where under Christ was put. Christ was put to shame. He became a shame. You think of it. A malefactor that was stripped naked. That was beaten. That was bruised. That was spat upon. That was cursed. They cast lots for his robes. They put a false royal robe on him, mocking him. He was shamed so that we could be seen. Took our shame. I tell you, that's what the Christ did when he endured the cross. Give me 5 more minutes. You're listening well. It's only 7:00. Christ enduring the cross meant the shame were on the Christ was put. Shame was laid upon him by the word and by deed. By upbraiding him and his country, talked against where he come from. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Surely, if there was going to be something good, it would have come from our fruit. That's what they were saying. We need to be careful today, but don't talk like them.
Amen.
How could God move with them?
Amen.
If he's going to do it, he'll do it with us.
Yes. Amen.
Have you heard it? Do they see it the way we preach it? Mm-hmm. What are the don't? Whole lot that see it the way we preach it's wrong anyhow. You have to see it the way the Word says it.
Amen.
Not the way some smart man tells it. I tell you, when Jesus came, they didn't recognize him. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? He's just the carpenter's son. We knew his father, Joseph. Never knew who he was. The Word itself manifested, and they failed to see it. Not like the church world today. When God sent a true voice, when God sent a true messenger, oh, we wouldn't have him. Every door closed. They had to go with the wee creeds, the wee dogmas, the wee book. Their wee books contrary to this book. Burn it!
Amen.
This is the only book here.
Right.
And it's contrary to this book, it's no book.
Amen.
It's a fairy tale. This is God's real book.
Amen.
And I tell you, here was the book of self manifest. They've done everything to shame him. In John 6:51, here's what it says. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Verse 52. And the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us flesh to eat? You see, it wasn't open to them to know it. And when the Lord spoke in parables, and when Jesus speaks at any time, it's only the Holy Spirit that can open a man's understanding to know it. It's a work of the Holy Ghost. I thank God for the Holy Spirit. These men were smart, weren't they? You see, you can't learn it. I quoted you this morning about Clarence Larkin. And Clarence Larkin was way ahead of his time and a great man. And that's all good. But Brother Branham corrected many things he said. And you remember in the church ages and the saints, Brother Branham said that he came and fixed it. Says, I would have preached it wrong from the readings I had read. But the Lord fixed it. So that we would have the truth. Nobody say it? So you see these great men, they're great, it's all good. But I tell you, the Lord had the final word, let me say it like that. And these fellas here, they were smart. And look at Mark 6:3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Offended at him. They were offended because he healed the sick and raised the dead. They're offended because he did miracles. They're offended because he got miracles on the Sabbath and the disciples plucked the ears of corn and ate it. It offended them. They were so religious. And they made themselves, they could swallow the camel. What's that saying? Straighten it up and swallow your camel. That's something, isn't it? Make you out a big thing to bind you. But wouldn't do it themselves. That's why I'm against this nonsense of preaching in these wee stages now.
Yes,
and God's going to add to this now. And now, this is the next bit that you'll have to do. I want to tell you, when Jesus Christ saves you and fills you with the Holy Ghost, you're ready.
Amen.
And it's only the Holy Spirit that can enlighten your conscience. And John 14 tells us the Holy Ghost is the teacher.
Amen.
And even reading this Bible, you can read it as much as you want. I'll tell you something, the priest read it. The priest told Martin Luther, read the Bible and you get comfort. That's how you get saved. A monk of the Augustine order, Martin Luther, he began to read the scripture, but as he read the scripture, the Holy Ghost lightened it. And it struck him in the heart. And God saved him. On one verse. And didn't William Branham say there's rapture and faith in one message? Because when you get the Holy Ghost, you could get it the first time. That's right. When you receive, I don't know about that, brother, read your Bible. The book of Acts says, why Peter yet spake these words?
Amen.
The first sermon I heard.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost come on them. I tell you, when did they go to the fourth stage? See, that's all nonsense. That's man's ideas. I tell you, the Holy Ghost come on them right there and then when they heard the first message. How many knows that's the word of God?
Amen.
While Peter yet spake these words,
amen,
the Holy Ghost come on all them that heard it. Some of them might have heard it. But the ones that, as the brother John used to say, have your ears on. That's what Peter would have, you know, that's what it means. Are you listening in? See, when you're listening in, you can hear the good and the bad. And you have to do what the prophet said to do, eat the chicken and leave the bones. I'm sure you're not into the bones, am I? Some boys lay them on the cupboard to dry out and then try and eat them. Not interested, fresh meat. Amen. Look at this. By casting his company into his teeth, and therefore was slandering him. That's what they've done. Mark 9, verse 11. And they asked him, saying, why say the scribes that Elias must first come? They were old questions, weren't they? And look at verse 19 when he says, and he answered and said unto them, a faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? Have no fear. How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And you know the story, cast the devil out of him. And they couldn't do it. At last first coming, Jesus, you know what he said after he has come. But you fellas didn't know him. And then there was a whole big debate amongst them. Because you know what they said? You know the people believe John to be a prophet. We need to be careful here. It's not what they said. We need to be careful. I tell you, they'd have killed Jesus ever before they got him to Calvary if they could have got away with it. You know that. They got out of him with his doctrine as well. John 7, 12. And there was much murmuring among the people. John 7, verse 12, concerning him. For some said he is a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. Now you think of it. They said Jesus was a deceiver. They did all these things to discredit him. That's what they do today. You go on the website wherever you want, put you in the name of William Branham, say it comes up. Have a lot of stuff come up against him. You mention his name and tell you what, they'll run for it. They've nothing to do with you. You say, but there's too much talk about him. But I'll tell you, they'll never mind. They'll not receive it that he's a prophet. And you see back here, and I'm only short telling you, they wouldn't even receive Jesus. The Lord himself. But this is the religious people. This is the leaders of the so-called church. And you remember in the world today, they're all clumping together for one world council of churches. And they're going to have one head. And that head's going to be the Pope of Rome. And by the way, they're planning to bring him in secretly. into the north here, didn't you? Know that? Yes, heard all about it. And there's a wee man was greatly up in arms. Boy, he told Ben Brown all about it. He was up in arms. And he said to the father, "You know he's coming, and where is he coming till?" The boy said, "I don't tell you. I couldn't care where he's coming to." That's what I think of him. Let your answer be yea or nay. That's going to affect you and me. We're looking for the coming of the Lord. The Antichrist predicted to come, and he's already here. They're all looking for him. They're looking past him. Looking past. Blinker. I'm not looking past him, I know. Like Big Paisley used to say, Johnny Red Sox is his name. That's him. He's no good. I'm telling you now, he's no good. You know why he's no good? He doesn't point you to Christ. He says you don't need Jesus, you can come to me. Says I can intercede for you. He's a liar. My Bible says neither is there salvation in any other name.
Amen.
For there's no other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved, other than the name of Jesus. For there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. I thank God he's the only way. And he endured the cross for me. Amen. They blasphemed his miracles. Oh, what? You think of the things they've done against the Lord here. I could go through a list of them, and I'm going to have to stop and keep you all night. But there's one thing they missed. And there's one thing this age has missed. Now listen to me. Jesus himself said it. All manner of sin shall be forgiven. But one word spoken against the Holy Ghost will never be forgiven. Neither in this world or the world to come. And I tell you, when a man stands up and speaks against the Holy Ghost and calls the gifts of the Spirit of God tripe and dirt, it's a dangerous thing, isn't it? Never be forgiven. I tell you, when you speak against the Holy Spirit, it's dangerous stuff. And many clog in with hobnail boots, for the Bible says angels fear to tread. They speak against God's servants, and they speak against the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, "Touch not mine anointed."
Amen.
Nor do my servants nor my prophets no harm. Or was better that a millstone was put around your neck and you're thrown into the sea. I tell you, there's a day of judgment coming for the Christ rejecter. I'm going to have to close. Slandered him all his life. They slandered him. Spoke against him. List of stuff ahead. All what they done. Let me go through this quickly and I'm going to close. At his death, the floodgates of shame were opened against him. Judas in scorn saith, "Heal, Master." Matthew 26, verse 49. False witnesses charge him of false crimes. Matthew 26, 60. They accuse him of blasphemy. Matthew 26, 65. They blindfolded him and bid him prophesy, "Who smote you?" Luke 22, 64. These are the things that done to the Lord. This is the shame he endured. One of the thieves that were crucified with him reviled him. Luke 23, 39. When he was on the cross, they bid him derision, "Come down. Come down," they said. "Call for Elias and save you, save you." Matthew 27, 31. Passers-by reproached him. Matthew 27, 39. When he, in the bitterness of his agony, he cried, "Eli, Eli." Mockingly they replied, "He calleth for Elias. Let Elias come and save him." Matthew 27, 46. By deeds they put him to shame. And all these things that I'm telling you about. But he endured the cross. Suffered all of it. You think of the humiliation of it stripped off naked. And hanged on a tree. You see, you have to understand the real picture of it to get it. And if you don't understand this picture, you'll never really get it. And this picture is this. They were called malefactors that was hanged on a tree. And they put them on a cross and they stripped them and they beat them so that everybody was warned what would happen to the malefactor, to the criminal. And Jesus died with them. And the Bible said he made his grave with the rich and with the poor. And we know he died with them thieves on the cross. But Joseph of Arimathea, being a rich man, went in and asked for the body of Jesus. And he laid him in a tomb. And he made his grave with the rich and the poor. He suffered it all. He endured the cross for me and you. And the world today doesn't want the real Jesus. They don't want him. There's a fellow who used to work with us, and he used to sing a wee song. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die. And he used to sing it every day. And I used to tell him, you'll never go if you don't repent and get saved. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die. And as Brother Brian said, when it really comes down to it, nobody wants to die. But I tell you, when you die in the Lord, you're not really dying, you're only sleeping. Because you're absent from the body and present with the Lord. Let's stand our feet tonight as we close. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let's be reverent before the Lord. I'm going to pray. If you want me to pray for you tonight, just lift your hand up wherever you are. God bless you. God bless you. You just pray yourself and I'm going to pray. And you pray for me. I need a miracle in two or three different ways. I don't just mean physically in other ways. But I know God can do it. I know God can hear and answer prayer. God can meet you tonight. He has paid the price. There's no greater price could be paid. He endured the cross so that we could be saved. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you tonight for the precious word of truth. For thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, I ask for the hands that was raised tonight that you will indeed confirm your word and answer their prayers. Whatever the need would be in the physical or the natural, whether it's spiritually or financially, Lord, I ask sincerely that thou will indeed meet that need. We know that you are the God of miracles. We don't deny you. We believe you tonight. We believe your word. We believe that you send a Malachi messenger according to your word. We believe we have saw a super sign. And we believe we're living in the last of the last days. We believe that you're almost finished with the Gentiles. And you're going to turn back to the Jews. But before that, there's going to be a catching up. And you're going to come for your bride. And you're going to take her of this earth. Lord Jesus, may we be ready, watching and waiting, and filled with your Holy Ghost. With our lamps trimmed and burning, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Heavenly Father, bless your people this night. Strengthen my brother. Strengthen my sister. In Jesus' precious name. Heal that man and heal that woman. Heal that boy and heal that girl. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, we do ask again for those that's near and dear to us on our hearts tonight. Lord, we pray you'll move on them. We pray you'll take a dealing with them. Move upon that young man. Move upon that young woman. Convict them of sin and unrighteousness. And draw them to thyself and save them and deliver them. We send the Holy Ghost to work it upon them. We ask that the blood cover them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Save that husband. Save that wife. In Jesus Christ's name. All that's near and dear in our hearts tonight. Lord, save them, we pray. Lord, lest the circle be broken. We pray, Lord Jesus, you'll bring them in. Lord, we know, and your brother preached it when he was here, that we can't do it, but you can. You're going to do it, Lord. We believe you tonight. You said, no good thing will I withhold from them that walk upright before me. Lord, that's your word. We believe your word tonight. Father, grant thy strength now to the navel and health to the bones. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Bless the song leaders who come. Bless the musicians. Bless the elders. Bless the deacons. For anyone that had to work this evening or couldn't come, may you bless them and may you strengthen them. Bless the tithes. Bless the offerings. Father, bless your work and add to it such as should be saved. And we'll give you all the glory and all the honor. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one as a brother comes. Just to say, in case I forget, because the last Sunday, it's the 24th, I think it is the 24th. Next month, I'm going to Scotland to take special meetings for Brother Makeway. And maybe the elders can do their services here, Brother John, my dad. So that's not next week, but the week after it. I'll confirm it Wednesday or next Sunday, but as far as I know, it's the last Sunday's the 24th. This is the 8th. Next week is the 24th. Calculate. Is that right? Is it the 24th? 15th. Then, well, it's the last Sunday anyhow. I'll confirm it before brothers, if you could prepare John and my dad, and I'll be away. Please pray for me in Scotland. For Brother Makeway's asked me to come. He's continuing the work over there. And just pray the Lord bless him and strengthen him and add to the work, and that God will have his way. The Lord bless each one.
I think that one under the burden of guilt and sin.